Sex.
Sex with an attitude.
Relationships.
I had a relationship once.
And advice.
So you got any advice for me?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Anthony, I hate people.
Come on in. The water's fine. Finally, you're moving to my side then.
And I thought of you today because I just had the most frustrating experience. And this, my conclusion was, oh, I hate people. And I thought Anthony would love this scenario. So I was going to visit a friend where I had to buy a train ticket. And there's one booth and one ticket machine in the entire. And then like the trains are there. Right. So, you know me, anything to not talk to a person, I will do. So I go to the machine and it was out of order. So now I got to go to the booth and talk to the person. So I go up there. It's one booth and there's one person. And she has a sign in front of her that says, next window, please. But she's the only window. She's the only person there. So I said, hi, can I buy a ticket to, you know, the town that I was going to? And she doesn't say a word to me. She just points at the machine. And I said, yeah, it's out of order. So she looks up. She goes, well, then you're going to have to buy a ticket on the train. So I look up at the sign and it says, you know, the ticket price, if you buy it with her, is $4. On the train, $9.
Oh,
it's a $5 penalty to buy the ticket on the train. So I said to her, it's a $5 penalty to buy the ticket on the train. Like, what kind of scam are you running? The machine is out and you won't sell me a ticket. Mm. You're saying buy it on the train for an extra $5. No, thank you, lady. And she's like ignoring me. And she's not selling me a ticket. And I was just like, oh, I hate people. And I was getting really frustrated. And some guy comes over and says, listen, you can download the app and buy the ticket on the app. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I will never go to this place again. This is a one-shot deal. So now I got to download the app, put in my credit card to an app that I'm never going to use again, except for right now in this moment, which normally I don't mind, but I hate putting my credit card into an app that I'm never going to use again. So that's what I ended up doing. But this woman was so like, oh, I hate people.
I had to do that this weekend where I stayed at a hotel. So I had to download the stupid app for the hotel because that's the only way now you get a key You have to down. I'm never going to stay at that hotel again.
Ever again.
So now I have to go through and remember to delete it off my phone. And now they have my email address. It's a whole thing now.
Right. And the thing is, the woman was there. The machine was there. The machine was broken. She knew the machine was broken. And it's like, I'm not paying an extra $5, but now you gotta sign up for the app. You gotta come up with a password. It needs to know your email address. You give it a credit card. Like, my whole life, just to save $5, it was a moment where I was like, is this even worth it? Should I just pay the extra $5 on the train?
Yes, you should have, just to not deal with the hassle.
Oh, I hate people. All right, so how about you? When was the last time that you went, oh my God, I hate people?
888-460-6002, The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You sure got a new show up and running fast.
Sex, relationships, advice.
What's going on here?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Every single time I walk into a meeting, I say I hate people.
How come?
How come? It's a meeting. And then if, God forbid, you walk into work on a Monday and people, how was your weekend? I don't remember Friday to now. It was just a blur. I don't know what I did. I have no idea. Why? Don't ask me. I hate that.
When I was a waitress, there was this one guy that used to come in, and every time he'd walk in, all us waitresses would be like, oh, don't sit in my section. No, no, no. Because he would find something to complain about every single time he came in. He always ordered the same thing, like a hamburger and french fries and whatever he had to drink. And sometimes they would put, like, you always got lettuce, tomato, and a pickle. But every once in a while, they'd throw on two pickles for no reason. He didn't ask for two pickles. But he would always be like, excuse me, ma'am, can you come over here, please? Yes, sir. Is there a problem? Yeah, there's only one pickle. I'm sorry. Did you want pickles? Did you want extra pickles? Well, no. Yesterday I was here. There were two pickles. Today there's one. okay, well, do you want more pickles? Well, no, I don't want more pickles. I don't even eat pickles. I just want you to know that yesterday there was two pickles and today there's one pickle.
He was the male version of you.
You don't want a second pickle? I can bring you a second pickle. He's like, I don't even like pickles. I'm just pointing out the inconsistency. I hate people. I hate people. That's the moment. Amber, what was the time that you were like, oh, I just hate people?
Well, when I was about 5 months pregnant, I had to go to the store, and I was very ill with hyperemesis.
Mm.
And I was at the store, and it was this little small-town grocery store, and I had to get some juice and stuff like that, and I wanted to pull out an extra $20.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one of those old card sliders that aren't the new ones, so I didn't really know how to use it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I asked the lady at the cashier, and I said, I want to pull out $20. What do I put in to pull out $20? She says, well, you have to push in $2,000. I said, okay. So I started pushing it in, and I accidentally put $200 and hit enter, and I told her I put in the wrong amount. And she said, what? And I said, I put in the wrong amount. Can you cancel it? So she stood there with this blank look on her face, like, what? And I said, I put in the wrong amount. I want $20 out. And she didn't cancel it enough time, so it came back that I had withdrawn 20 cents from my account. And she pulled out the 26 from the drawer, and she said, well, do you want the 20 cents?
Oh.
And I looked at her like, yeah, I kind of do. It came out of my account.
Yeah.
Do you want the 20 cents? No, you keep it for your hassle.
It's a tip.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my goodness.
Call now, 888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, and less. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
I stopped in today to a store. All I wanted was a bottle of water. So that's okay. It. So I go in the store. I get the bottle of water. There's a guy in front of me. He's checking out dog food. So he's got a bag of dog food. He's checking out. The register at that moment decides to break.
Oh.
So then I got the guy on the phone with his manager trying to fix the cash register. And he can't. His phone isn't working, so he's walking around the store trying to get a signal like it's 1984. I'm like, dude, it's so not. I'm not dying of thirst. I gotta go.
So did you like leave a dollar or did you just
no?
Leave the
I
water
just
and
I
leave?
Put the water down and then walked out. And he's like, sir, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I was like, I understand, man. I don't. It's not worth it for a bottle of water.
Amy, what do you have to say about all this?
I hate people.
Now, what made you say that?
I had just finished a lovely trip to Hawaii. My first trip to Hawaii with my husband. We're relaxed. We're on our way home, as is everybody who's at the gate in Hawaii. And, of course, with security these days, you're stuck at the gate for 2 hours, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is
right. Fine.
You bring a magazine. But there's the blowhard on his cell phone who just finished his fabulous vacation. And he can't wait to get back. So he's got to call his old buddy in Nebraska, and he's got to start bragging. And, of course, it's, you know, he's in Hawaii, so he's got to talk extra loud. We're extra far. And you can't leave the gate. So, and it's not just, and he's just like, yeah, George, no, we're still here. Oh, yeah, I'm bringing back pineapples. They're so fresh. They're so great. And you just want to go. No, you know, basically got those at the equivalent of the gas station.
Exactly. Right? And frankly, all of us have the same experience sitting here. Right. You can wait until you get home because we don't all have to hear your conversation.
But then he's just like, oh, yeah, we went and saw Pearl Harbor. You ever been there? Oh, well, we met this guy and we totally got to go into the secret entrance. It was so great.
Oh.
And then we saw this bird that, you know, we just, you know, and now it's extinct. We were the last people to ever see it. And then we went to this place for breakfast. I tell you where it was, but it's totally off the beaten path. Only locals go there. And you're just going, shut up. I hate people. You know this guy? You're just like, you're so great. You just want to say to him, you know what? You win. If you're trying to win, you win.
You win. You're better than the rest of us. You're greater than we are. You eat at all the cool places. You buy the cool pineapples. Yes,
so
you are the greatest.
So we don't need to hear it anymore. You win.
You win.
So I'm conceding. So now you shut up. I hate people.
I hate people, too. Oh, Amy.
Thanks for letting me back. Aloha.
Thank you, Amy. Aloha to you.
Bring us pineapples next time.
Call now, 888-460-6002.
Wait a minute.
What is this show?
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
We're talking about those moments where you go, oh, I hate people. And if you never say that, we're going to convince you that you should. You should get on board with us. Because when you hear how a pregnant woman was treated by strangers, and when you call customer service with a very simple request, but they have to make it as complicated as possible, you too will say, oh, I hate people. That's next.
Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Yeah, I want that to be my license plate. I hate people.
H-8.
People. You. Well, I hate you if you're reading this.
If you're a person and you're reading this, I'm talking about you. I went to a wedding last weekend, and they had a professional photographer who was walking around taking photos and whatever. And he even had an assistant taking second photos, but it was a big wedding. You can't be everywhere. So I was taking all of these photos. I knew the bride, and I know how it is. I've been a bride. The professional photographer takes forever to get back to you. You want something immediately. Mm-hmm. So the next morning after the wedding, I just texted the bride a bunch of photos, just some stuff that I took, like, hey, here's what you missed, or here's a cute photo of you doing this, or you're cutting the cake, or whatever, whatever photo I had. I get a text back from her mother that said, where are the photos with the cake cutting that I'm in? And I don't see any with Lily and her grandma, and I'm only in two of these. It's like, I don't work for you. Like, I wasn't taking the photos professionally. I'm Lily's friend who was taking the photos, because I was wandering around. Like, I just was doing something nice. But the mother is like, where's this photo? Where's that one? It's like, what?
That's when you block people. Just block her. Just, you go, oh, isn't that a nice block?
Well, the fact that Lily gave her mother, because you know that Lily got an earful from her mother, mm-hmm. and just said, you know what? You text Cooper. You ask her what else she has.
You push Cooper over the edge, because I've done that before. You don't want to do that.
It's so, the day after my wedding. I need a break from everything. Here's Cooper's number. Just text her. So it was one of those moments where I was like, you know what? I went to the wedding. I gave a nice gift. I sent some pictures the next day to be nice. And the mother was like, where's this one? Where's that one? Mm-hmm. I hate people. That's what I learned. Now, Mo, you're so sweet. I can't imagine that you had an I hate people moment.
Goodness, I had one today. And, I was just like, I hate the world. Forget people. I hate the whole world. I was just trying. It was just one of those moments. I was trying to book our vacation flights to go to San Juan. And it was horrible. I called them. I'm like, we want to get a flight from Charlotte to San Juan. I mean, we want to get on the plane in Charlotte, and we want to fly to San Juan. We want to get off in San Juan. We don't want to go to St. Thomas. We don't want to go to St. Martin. We want to go to San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Which is a major city. It's not like you were asking to go to some little tiny island off the coast of wherever.
And it burned me up because it's like, well, would you like to go to Atlanta and go from Atlanta to San Juan? I'm like, no, Charlotte, North Carolina, to San Juan. What would you like to go from Charlotte to St. Thomas? I'm like, oh, my gosh. So they got mad at me because, I was like, I kept thinking, how are you not understanding that I want to get on a plane in Charlotte and get off in San Juan? They got mad at me and hung up the phone.
No, they did not.
They did. They hung the phone up on me. And I was like, you know what? Screw the world. Screw them all. I'm so upset. We just want to make a freaking flight for crying out loud. So,
yeah. So you don't just hate, you hate an entire industry today.
Oh, I'm telling you, I've been burned up, and I'm still burned up, and I still have to go in and try to make our flight.
You still didn't get to make the reservation. That's the other thing.
Exactly. So, I'm just going to suck it up. I'm going to take a deep breath and go in with a positive attitude and probably come out with steam coming out of my ears. But it's okay.
Like a big cartoon character.
Exactly. Cooper, I love you guys. I love all of you. I listen to you every day. So you guys have a good night.
Putting on a brand new show.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Every single time I get behind the wheel of a car, I'm telling you, I can't get out of my neighborhood without yelling at people. I can't. People are so stupid now. And it's multiplied when they drive.
Right. You're just driving going, I hate people. I hate people. That's your mantra while you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia, you understand our hatred of people today, don't you?
I've been hating people for the last 5 months since I got pregnant. Because
you should hate your husband.
Yeah, no, I look really young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I was a pregnant 15-year-old, you still don't have the right to stare at me. I get stared at all the time, and I have people ask me how old I am. Or there's the wonderful, oh, my God, you're so huge. Really. And I'm like, no, I'm not that huge, just so you know. I'm not that huge, you know. Look at, I don't know, I'm just not that big.
Look at somebody with twins or something, yeah.
Yeah, like, well, like I'm going to drop any minute or so. Like I'm about ready to give birth. And I'm like, I'm 5 months pregnant, butthead. Shut up, I'm not that big.
You got another 4 months to go.
Yeah, well, that, and I actually weigh the same I did when I got pregnant because I was so sick in the beginning. I've just gotten bigger, but I've not actually gained weight. And people, like strangers, will ask me, well, how much weight have you gained? And I'm like, well, how much weight have you gained since high school? Something we're going to share? Do you want to bond? I'm not telling you how much weight I've gained.
I know, that's the weirdest thing about being pregnant. People feel like they can touch your stomach.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, just wait till you get bigger. If they're not touching you yet, just wait.
Oh, I've been groped a couple of times. I just feel like I'm a stripper or something. I'm like, they're touching me.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. The Sex Hour.
What is that?
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
A whole hour.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Time to get it off your chest. The Sex Hour. A whole hour of your sex calls. Call now 888-460-6002.
Hey, June, what's going on?
I have throughout my life been a serial monogamous. My last major relationship ended a number of months ago, and now I find myself in a completely unfamiliar situation. I'm dating a married polyamorous man. I've never really considered entering into a polyamorous relationship before, and I'm definitely very likely to stay monogamous while I'm in this relationship, since that's just what suits me. The man I'm seeing is absolutely wonderful, as is his wife, and they have a very strong, open, loving marriage, and I have no desire to come between that at all. I'm comfortable with the situation and can envision happily seeing this man for the indefinite future. So my question involves how to introduce and or explain the situation to people in my life.
So for people that don't understand, polyamory is when you are in a relationship basically with more than one person, or you're in a relationship with somebody who is in another relationship and everybody involved has consented. Like a throuple is a really good example of a polyamorous relationship where you get three people that are together as a relationship, or they're raising kids, or that kind of thing. And there are now in Massachusetts and California are recognizing multiple partnerships legally in terms of raising kids, adopting kids, taxes, living together, getting married, all the horrible things that married people have to deal with. Like now people that are in poly relationships are also getting those same rights. So that's what a polyamorous relationship is. And that is what June is talking about. So in terms of telling the people in your life, you have a couple of options. You know, you can just call your boyfriend, my boyfriend, or my partner to people and not give anybody the extra details because it's not their business and it really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your whole story is. I mean, I don't go into long explanations about my boyfriend and who he is. I mean, for all they know, you know, he could be married. He could have several. For all I know, he could have several girlfriends.
Probably does.
Yeah, who knows? Your second option is for people who are closer to you, who you might want to introduce to your boyfriend and maybe even his wife. You know, you may want them to be a part of your life. So the first thing you need to ask yourself, and this is really important, June, what is your motivation for telling the people in your life? Mm-hmm. Do you want them to be happy for you because you're happy? Do you f- feel dishonest not telling them what's really going on? Or are you trying to shock people? Because you've always been in monogamous relationships your whole life. So this might be shocking for a lot of people that are close to you. So is that your motivation? So first, you need to think about that. And the reason I'm asking you to consider these things is to prepare yourself for the reaction after you tell them.
So that means you have not one wife, but you have two?
Or you could have two husbands or two boyfriends. Not husbands or not marriages. You're not married to two people. You might be married to one, and then you bring a third person in.
Oh, dear God. I can barely handle one. Oh, my God. That's got to be very tiring.
Yeah, but you know what? So for some people, it's really functional. It's like instead of cheating, you just bring in your girlfriend and the wife is like, great, I don't have to deal with having sex with you because I don't want to do that anymore. You know, or maybe she brings in her boyfriend and suddenly you and your wife are living with a man and a woman that neither one of you are married to.
Soon we have our own village.
Yeah, you have your own village. And you have five pets to raise.
You know, it might be good, though, because you can get one to wash your clothes, one to do the dishes, one to mow the lawn.
Okay, they're not coming in as your housekeepers.
Why?
They're your partners.
No, this is my rules. So, okay, I want four chicks.
Like a fiefdom.
Right, and they can switch off. And we'll have a list, and they can check off the list. Like, I did the dishes today. I did
like a chore wheel, like you do for kids.
Right, and then I'll sleep with one. And then next year I'll sleep with the other. Oh, I kind of like this.
Once a year is all you can handle.
I'm polyframorous now, too.
Call now, 888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show. The Sex Hour. An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
Why do you like it, baby?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex, relationships, and advice. This is the hour that I love. I went and got a PhD just so I can answer some questions for you and give you a doctor's answer rather than just your idiot friend, which is Anthony sitting right over there. George, what's your question?
I work for a struggling nonprofit, and today I walked in on one of our executive leadership watching porn at his desk. It was after 5, and he was watching the porn on his iPhone, not the office computer. So for what it's worth, he wasn't using any company resources. Additionally, though new to the nonprofit, he has, in my opinion, proven himself an effective and capable leader, and I'm not concerned that he's failing to do his job because he's distracted by porn at work.
Okay.
That being said, I feel very uncomfortable about the whole situation, and I'm not sure whether I should report it to HR.
No! Of course you should not report it to HR, especially if he's a good employee and a good boss and you have a good relationship with him. You don't want him to have that on his record. He wasn't doing anything on the company computer. He was on his own phone in his own office, and he thought he was in his own private
after space. Hours, after 5 o'clock.
Right. After hours. Also, that's the other thing. After hours in his office where it was private, you were invading his space.
Mm-hmm.
I do think you should maybe give him. I mean, he's your boss. You can't really give him an unofficial warning, but you can say to him, listen. I get it.
No, don't say anything to him. Just because he's going to be embarrassed. Just don't say anything. Just move on.
No. Here's the thing that you need to say to him. This is why I'm saying that you should mention it. You should tell him that he should be aware of his surroundings. Because if a female employee walks in, that is now under the new guidelines that most of our companies have us do all this compliance training and all this sexual harassment training. And underneath those categories, this could be considered sexual harassment or at least a hostile work environment, especially because he's in a boss leadership position. So I would say to him as his coworker and as his work friend, don't ever do that again because you're lucky I came in and not one of the women in the office because you'd be fired.
What do you want?
An hour of your sex and relationship questions. The Sex Hour. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Sex talk time, a whole hour. Call now. Dr. Cooper standing by. She'll answer all your questions.
Hi, Rosalie. What's your question?
Hi. I've been dating this very nice boy. We are just out of college, and he has... very smart. very nice. He's very successful. Mm. But in the bedroom, he has no idea what to do because he went to a boarding school that disallowed any sort of boy-girl interaction. So for whatever reason, he never got on the up and up as far as how to treat a woman right. And I come from a very sexual background, and I haven't had sex with lots of guys, but I certainly know what I want. Mm. And I try to tell him what I want. And because he's so in control in every other part of his life, when we start doing things, it just doesn't work out. And then he gets frustrated and cries, and then we don't talk about it. And he refuses to really talk about it in the daytime. And I just don't know what to do, because I like him a lot, and he's great in all the other areas, but sexually, it just isn't working out, and I just don't know what to do. So I guess, how can I facilitate an open discussion about this without having to break up with him?
Well, the not wanting to talk about it is almost worse than how bad he is in bed. I mean, not talking about what goes on in the bedroom is the one thing he needs to get over, because how is he going to get better if you won't even open the conversation? I mean, the one thing we talk about on the show constantly is to talk to your partner, your sex partner, sometimes plural, mm-hmm. about what you like and what you don't like and what they're into and what's okay and consent. And you can't have any of those conversations if he just shuts it down. That's a problem. So I think you should start by saying, listen, I'm attracted to you. I really like you, but a sex life is important to me. So it's okay. I will teach you. And then give him time to mull it over. Don't say, I will teach you, and then jump right into the bedroom. I would say that and say, I want to have a conversation about this. I want to teach you what I like. I want to open you up more sexually. Is that okay with you? Give him time. Let him think about it. If he comes back and says, you know what? Sure, I'm down with it. Let's do it. Then you're good. Then you can just teach him stuff. Teach him what you like and teach him what women like. And just be very, like, gentle with him in the beginning. And, you know, don't overwhelm him with stuff. But if he says, no, this makes me really uncomfortable, then you're going to have to move on. He's emotionally immature if he can't even have a conversation with you about this. And if he's that emotionally immature, he's not ready for a relationship.
What you need to do is have a conversation with him, and you say this. So you go up to him and you...
I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do.
You can act like a man! What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Yeah, you're crying because you can't... Wait, act like a man.
You can act like a man!
Well, Anthony, how did you learn about sex? I mean, not just... I'm not saying, like, the birds and the bees. How did you learn what women like, what they don't like, what to do? Like, was it instinctual, or did people teach you?
You're so cute. You think I know. I still don't know. I play it by ear. If they don't say stop, then I think I'm doing it right.
You have had women say, like, that feels good, or stop doing that, or I like this.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, maybe at some point. They liked it. I don't know. I just keep going until you tell me to stop. Get off me. You're sweaty. Ew. That's. And then I say,
that's how you learned? Yeah.
That's how I learned. And then
you can act like a man.
888-460-6002. The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice.
What?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
A guy who keeps hearing, it's not you, it's me, is starting to think, you know what? Maybe it is me. And her grandpa died. Oh, that's very sad. So should she throw away his porn stash before the family goes to clean the house? In other news, her grandpa has a porn stash. So we have that and so much more coming up next in the Sex Hour.
The Sex Hour.
An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Hey, Sam, what's going on?
Hey, what's up? As far as dating goes, I date a lot. Haven't had a whole lot of success with it. But how valid is this timing question with women? I mean, they say things to me like Sam. My name's Sam, by the way. Sam, I really like you. You know, I really want to keep hanging out with you, but it's not really bad timing. I just got out of a long relationship. I mean, I understand that, but honestly, it's like if they really liked me, if they really, really liked me, timing is, it seems like it's always going to be some issue. And don't you think that, like, if they really liked me, they would just want to keep being with me?
Yeah, I do think that. That's correct. you are right. If they really liked you, it wouldn't matter if they just started a new job, broke up with somebody else, moved to a new house, like whatever excuse they keep using or giving you the old, it's not you, it's me excuse.
Mm-hmm.
So we're your friends. We want to help you. Sam, it is you. It's you. There's something that you're doing. It's not like you said to us, this is just one girlfriend. You said this keeps happening, mm-hmm. that women keep coming up with the excuse of the timing is bad, which is a really great excuse because it doesn't, they don't want to be hurtful, but, you know, they're not interested. So if they are physically attracted to you enough to go on a date, then that means it's got to be something else. Do you have bad breath? Do you have bad manners? Are you a terrible listener? You know, you need to figure out what you're doing that's turning women off in droves.
Or just give up. Just stop dating. You're not dateable. You're going straight to the friend zone. Just keep swiping right.
The Sex Hour. An hour of your sex and relationship questions.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Alexandra, you're up next on the Sex Hour with Dr. Cooper.
My grandpa passed away kind of suddenly, unexpectedly, and I know that he has a porn stash in the house.
Oh, no.
Because I accidentally found it, you know, some time ago. That's a whole other story. Anyways, so I know he has it, and I know that people are going to be starting to go through his stuff, and I don't know if it's my moral responsibility to throw those things away, or do I allow whoever finds them to find them, to know him better? And I think I know where the videos are at least, but where else do people hide their porn stash? Like, where should I be looking if it's appropriate for me to be seeking out my dead grandpa's porn stash?
You know, you're not judgmental. You don't care about the fact that your grandfather looked at porn. What do you care? But other family members might be shocked or upset, and it's just not worth their feeling scandalized by something so innocuous and so private. So if you know where his porn stash is, yeah, collect it. Throw it in the trash. Get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the only thing. If you do decide to keep any of it for whatever reason, nostalgia, curiosity, whatever, make sure there's nothing illegal on there because that can implicate you in some way. You could say, it's not mine. It's my grandpa's. And he's not around to defend himself or to say, yes, they are mine. So I would, if you decide to keep anything, look at it first. Make sure there's nothing illegal, inappropriate, something terrible on there. But I would just take them and throw them in the trash. That's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
As far as where he may have put other stuff, like sex toys or whatever else he may have, I mean, you know, your guess is as good as mine. I would check under his bed. I would check the drawers if he has a night table or whatever he has in his bedroom. Usually it's someplace in a bedroom, like a sock drawer, underwear drawer, that kind of thing. I'd also look in the bathroom somewhere he might have gone privately when your grandma was doing something else, you know.
The basement, look in his wood shop, look in places like that. I bet 100% your family is not Italian because the minute anybody Italian dies, the family hits that house like ants.
Like bank robbers on a spree.
The minute the ambulance leaves the house, the aunts and uncles and cousins, and they tear the house up, it's like 5 minutes later, it's gone.
It's like a fire sale, yeah.
It's the most incredible thing I've ever seen in my life. They will take the plaster off the walls. I mean, it's insane, and it happens every time.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sex
with an attitude.
Relationships.
I had a relationship once.
And advice.
So you got any advice for me?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Are these the worst decisions ever made in rock and roll history? I'm going to read you a couple of things or tell you a couple of things, and you tell me if you think this was like those moments in rock and roll history that was just like, oh, man, like what a boner move.
All right.
Okay, for example, Roger Waters dared Pink Floyd to do it without him. In 1985, he didn't realize that Pink Floyd was a bigger brand than he was alone.
Mm-hmm.
They continued to pack stadiums. They even wrote new hit songs. He went on tour when they did. They played packed houses. He played to empty seats.
Mm-hmm. He played clubs, and they were in stadiums.
But even the clubs weren't selling out.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good decision, brother.
How about this one? Jane's Addiction broke up just as alt-rock was about to burst open. The Nirvana and bands like that that they inspired. In 1991, they were like, we out.
Mm-hmm. Well, they had one hit. Well, they had a couple of hits. You know, Jane Says and Been Caught Stealing, Over the Mountain, Mountain Song. But, yeah, they could have been much bigger if they stuck around one more year.
Yeah, they could have had a lot more hits that we would know rather than just those couple of songs. And if you remember, they started Lollapalooza and then they quit.
Yeah. Perry founded Lollapalooza and then did it one year and said, I don't want to do it no more.
Yeah, and then they reunited for a minute and a half in 1997. But by then, everyone was like, Jane's who? What is this?
Mm-hmm.
It was too late by then. How about this? Is this the biggest bonehead move in rock and roll history? Warner Brothers gave R.E.M. an $80 million contract right before the career ended.
Right after Everybody Hurts.
After Man on the Moon, right after Losing My Religion. The next album they had was called Up, and it bombed. And then Napster destroyed them.
Mm-hmm.
And more than 25 years later, that is regarded as one of the worst record deals of all time.
Wow. $80 million for now.
$80 million. They got nothing for
one
it.
Hit.
Nothing. Yeah. How about this one? Oh, this one you're going to think is one of the worst ones. Motley Crue firing Vince Neil and then making an industrial album in 1994.
No, that album was great. John Corabi was a great singer. I thought it was a great move.
But then, so why'd they reunite with Vince Neil then?
Because Vince is the brand. John Corabi was such a great singer. Still is. And I thought it was a good move at the time, but it didn't sell well.
Okay. How about this? Metallica taking on their own fans over Napster.
Yeah, that was a bonehead move.
Bad. Yeah, that was a huge bonehead move. How about this one? Steven Van Zandt quitting the E Street Band just before Born in the USA tour.
But he did go on to be in The Sopranos, so we'll give him that.
Yeah, but how many years later? So the Born in the USA tour was 1984.
Mm-hmm.
Sopranos was what? How many years? 10 years later?
He went right back to Bruce, though. So
yeah, it took a while.
I'll tell you one of the biggest bonehead moves. And I actually spent time with Ahmet Erdogan from Atlantic Records.
Yeah.
And he founded Atlantic Records. So, and I asked him, I mean, this is the guy that signed Led Zeppelin.
Wow.
So I sat down and said, okay, what contract did you miss out on? What band did you say, I could have had that band, and I said no? And he said, we thought we had the Beatles, but one line in the contract was messed up, and we didn't get them.
Oh, so it wasn't they didn't think the Beatles were any good. It's the fact that they just didn't do the contract correctly.
Right. So he thought
elsewhere.
He went after Elvis, didn't get them, went after the Beatles, didn't get them.
Sex, relationships,
advice.
Showtime. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
Okay, so this is a dude named Kai Michelson. He is a huge motorcycle guy. And he was thinking, you know, gas is expensive. I like to ride my motorcycle. He's sort of an inventor. He's come up with other things before. He came up with a beer-fueled motorcycle. He's in Minnesota. It's a beer-powered motorcycle. He installed a 14-gallon keg instead of a gas engine. And the alcohol turns into superheated steam, which then makes the bike move forward.
Price of gas, it's getting up there. I don't drink. I'm a non-drinker, so I can't think of anything better than use it for fuel.
So he doesn't even drink alcohol. And he was inspired by the price of gas was getting too high. So I guess, you know, cheap beer, it doesn't be expensive beer.
Right, but gas is still $3 a gallon and beer is $3 a bottle. So that doesn't make much sense. If you could get it to run off like ocean water, that makes sense. Or right. air or dirt. Something that's free or cheap. But beer, not so cheap.
And this is not his first crazy invention. He built a rocket-powered toilet.
I got one of those.
Only after Mexican food.
Yeah, it's like the guy that made a car run on water. So now you walk into a gas station, you buy a 16-ounce bottle of water, it's $2.
Right.
Gas is $3 a gallon. So water now costs more than gas. So just make a car that run on, oh, we have that.
There's a car that runs on water?
Yeah, a long time ago a guy came up with it. And guess who shut him down? The oil companies.
Of course, right.
He disappeared like 3 weeks later. They went, where'd that guy go? Who? What guy? Well, you don't know what guy you're talking about.
He fall out of a window or something by accident?
Yeah, no, he just disappeared totally. He's just gone. He didn't exist.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You sure got a new show up and running fast.
Sex, relationships, advice.
What's going on here?
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
So every single person I've ever met who works for Levi's or like a denim company, they all say the same thing. Do not wash your jeans. Good denim should not be washed. You're supposed to air it out.
Yeah,
put it in the disgusting. Sun, air it out, whatever, but do not wash good denim.
Yeah, it's gross because your skin, your oil gets into the pants and then it seeps in there and your juices and stuff like that get stuck in the denim.
You want that. That's what makes denim wear nicely.
You want your juices in the jeans. That's what you want.
Yes, the best jeans have your jeans in them.
Okay,
you want your DNA in there.
It's something we will never agree on, but go.
Yeah, we'll never agree. Okay. So finally, a fashion expert came up with a chart of how often you should wash your clothes. I say how often you, but I mean my boyfriend. How often my boyfriend should wash my clothes.
How often my wife should wash my clothes.
Exactly. After every single wear. So only wear it once and then throw in the laundry your socks,
mm-hmm.
underwear.
Got it.
Those are obvious ones. Bathing suits. Wash a bathing suit after every time you go to the beach or go to the pool or wear it or just wear it around. Anything you wear to the gym should be washed after every time. Anything white. That's interesting. Even if you have something like a sweater, something that wouldn't normally be washed every single time, if it's white, wash it every single time.
Okay, so you agree on underwear should be washed after every single time.
I don't wear underwear, but if I did,
okay,
I would wash it.
But do you agree with that?
Yes.
So basically, your jeans are your underwear.
Not really.
Your hoochie-berg touches the jeans.
Not really. My jeans are big and baggy. No. Underwear sits up in there. My jeans are sort of like, I wear the baggy, like, boyfriend style. It's hanging down. My crotch is all the way down on my knees.
The hoochie berg touches the denim.
Not really. Okay, after 1 to 2 wears, so you can actually just wear it once and then put it away for a little bit. Leggings. Now, that's interesting because that's against what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because leggings do touch your hoochie berg.
Yoga pants, right?
Yeah, yoga pants, athletic wear.
Yeah,
all
that's
that kind
disgusting.
Of stuff. They said you can go twice.
Yeah, I don't like
any them. Any top, any button down shirt, any polo shirt, anything you know with like a little collar. You don't have to wash it every single time.
Mm-hmm. But it touches my skin. It's like this shirt now. It touches my skin.
What's the problem with your skin that it's ruining all your clothes after one wear?
And I get there's grease and oil and gook coming out of my skin and it goes on my shirt.
How often do you wash your towels?
After every use.
After every use?
Yeah.
So do you have a towel rack in your bathroom? Why would you have a towel rack? You don't need one.
Yeah, I don't know why I have one, but the minute the towel gets... because it's dirty then, because you wiped yourself with it.
And then it dries, and then you use it one more time. Maybe, like, you can get three times out of a towel.
Three? Then you're not clean. Then you're gross. Your hoochie berg is touching your jeans and your three-day-old towel you're wiping yourself with. You are not clean.
Five to six wears sweatshirts.
I think that's an everywhere thing. It's just it's in the name, sweat.
Well, I think it depends. Are you wearing the sweatshirt with something under it? Usually you are. I don't know many people that just wear a sweatshirt with nothing underneath it. Usually it's a t-shirt. So there's a layer, there's a barrier between you and your sweatshirt.
Anything with sweat in the name of it, you should wash it.
Every time?
Yeah.
Now, they are saying after every six wears, denim. I disagree. I think it's zero. I think you should never wash your good denim. And that's what denim experts say, but this bitch.
So if we're not going to agree with her on denim, we shouldn't agree with her on any of it.
Obviously, she has no idea what she's talking about. I should have read the denim part first. And then before I started doing this whole segment, I should have probably read the denim part and said, we shouldn't listen to this lady.
The Cooper and Anthony Show. Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You know, this is the year I said I was going to learn about sports. And I think I finally figured out, are the Oakland A's moving to Vegas?
I don't think you figured it out, but I think you're going to try. I don't even think you know what the Oakland A's are. Is it football or basketball or baseball?
Yes.
Is it hockey?
Yes.
Okay, very good.
It's the Molbs.
Yeah, I can't wait for you to tell us all about it.
I'll tell you all about it. And then Billy Joel Armstrong from Green Day, He did something really surprising. This is like my favorite story of the day.
Sex, relationships, advice. The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You're going to talk about baseball?
I have two baseball ball stories for you.
I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I told you this was the year that I was finally going to learn more about sports. And I got to tell you, these two stories fascinate me. This is awesome. Okay, so here's the first one that I was fascinated by. This is in MLB news, or as I call it, MOLB. Mm-hmm. In MOLB news, I don't know if you saw this game. I don't know if you're a big baseball watcher, but this pitcher was on the mound and he pitched a ball to the guy with the bat, and the guy with the bat.
Oh, this should be interesting. I'm just going to sit back and watch you do this. Okay. Explain
the guy.
What we're watching.
Okay. So there's a guy on the mound and he pitches a ball to the guy with the bat.
Right.
The guy with the bat hits the ball.
Uh-huh.
But instead of the ball going out to left field, out of the stadium, into the stands, it goes right back to the pitcher and clocks him on the head, and he's out. He's down.
Because his cleats are red tonight.
Oh, that's going to leave a mark.
Calling timeout right away.
Oh.
Okay, so I went to research this a little bit further. I thought this was fascinating. So here's two things that are really interesting. Pitches have gotten faster because of technology and because of health and because of lots of reasons. But pitchers pitching the ball have been faster and faster over the decades. So if you're going to pitch a ball really fast at a guy with a bat, that ball is coming back to you even faster. And the second thing is, this is exactly why aluminum bats are not allowed.
Yep.
Because with an aluminum bat, that guy would have been dead.
Yep. That's why they outlawed them. But in college, you can still hit with that bat.
Like hockey, they want violence, they want blood.
Right.
And then my second MLB story, which I found really fascinating, the Oakland A's, Oakland's in California, are they moving to Vegas?
Yes.
Are they going to move to Vegas? Well, we don't know. So it's this whole thing started more than 20 years ago. The stadium in Oakland was going downhill. It was a mess. It was coming apart. But Governor Jerry Brown said to the Oakland A's, I'm not giving any money. Uh-uh. We're not going to let you rebuild that stadium. So they tried to build in Uptown Oakland. Then they threatened to go to Fremont. And in 2012, they were like, that's it. We're moving to San Jose. And the Giants said, oh no, that's our territory.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a no. So they tried to go back to their stadium, but they had this issue with the Raiders. I guess they were sharing the stadium with the Oakland Raiders, the football ball people.
Right.
So the A's bounced around, and they finally found a spot in Oakland, But the pandemic hit and there were lawsuits and there was a shutdown. It was a whole thing. They said, that's it. We're moving to Vegas. Because at that point, the Raiders had moved to Vegas.
Right.
So the Oakland A's were like, you know what? We out of here. We're going to Vegas with our fellow footballers over there. So again, after some drama, they made this deal with the Tropicana. And the Tropicana said, you know what? We're going to rebuild our hotel. So we will give you this space. Yeah, we'll give you the space where the Tropicana is. We're going to rebuild the hotel next to the stadium.
In Vegas.
In Vegas. And that was the whole plan. So here's the NBC affiliate in the Bay Area. This is Jonathan Bloom. Here's a little more about it.
Now, if the A's are going to move, buying the land is just the first step. The next step is getting approval from state and county lawmakers in Nevada. And that involves getting them to fork over $400 million in public money,
yep.
Something Oakland flat out refused to do. But in Vegas, it's a different story. The state and county already gave $750 million to the Raiders to build Allegiant Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The team had to guarantee they'd stay there for 30 years until the stadium's paid off by a hotel tax of just under 1%. So the A's would ask for a similar deal. Now, if they can't get the public money, they've already explored a backup plan, some land farther from the Strip.
But here's what's interesting. They also need approval from 22 of the 29 MLB team owners.
Mm-hmm. Major League Baseball.
So, yeah, the Major League Baseball team owners, to make the Tropicana Vegas deal happen, they need 22 out of 29 people to say, yeah, that's good with us. And the deadline for that is January 2024. So they're still waiting to hear if they're ever going to be allowed to move to Vegas. And of course, everyone in the Bay Area is like, come back to Oakland. But where? They don't have a place to play.
Putting on a brand new show.
The Cooper and Anthony Show.
You know me, I follow Green Day on Instagram and all of their socials and stuff like that. So they posted this footage with the caption, when you walk into a pub and the cover band starts playing your song. And I was like, wow, this is odd that Green Day would care, that whoever runs the Green Day Instagram site would care that. I mean, I'm sure you go to any karaoke bar and somebody's singing Basket Case or September or something like that. You know, Wake Me Up When September Ends.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a whole other thing. So there's a cover band in England and they're playing a Green Day song. They're doing Basket Case. Billy Joe Armstrong happens to be in England. I don't know what he's doing there. He's in between gigs right now, hanging out, walks down the pub, hears his song coming out of the pub, walks right in, marches his butt up on stage, and starts performing Basket Case with the lead singer.
And she's a chick.
Yeah, she's a hot chick. They're so cute together. Throwing her arm around him and they're singing together.
He doesn't even look like Billy Joel anymore.
Well,
he's
that's
got, like,
what I wanted to discuss
hair.
With you. Yeah, I want to discuss that with you. So if you can pause it and just do like a screenshot for yourself of Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. Can we discuss it for a second?
All right, hold on. Let me get back to him. Okay.
Okay, so if you haven't seen him recently, his hair is like high and white and big, and he looks like a golden girl. He looks like one of the golden girls. And I thought immediately that he, you know, sometimes, and this is terrible that I'm going to say this, and I apologize ahead of time, but this is just true. Men of a certain age at some point, when they let themselves go full white or full gray, and they're not staying in shape, they're not eating healthy, they're leading like whatever life, they start looking like old lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
He's starting to look like an old lesbian.
Yeah, Axl Rose.
Right, that's another good example.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.